Welcome to Just a Minute. Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it's my huge pleasure to welcome our many listeners, not only in this country, but around the world, but to welcome to the programme four delightful, exciting, provocative players of this game. And they are seated on my left, Graham Norton and Jenny Eclair, and seated on my right, Paul Merton and Giles Brandreth. Please welcome all four of them. And seated beside me is Sarah Sharp, who's going to help me keep the score and blow a whistle when the 60 seconds is up. And as usual, I'm going to ask these four at different times to speak on the subject that I've given them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. And we're going to begin the show with Graham Norton, and who better? And the subject is, Graham, my idea of hell. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
My idea of hell would be to wake up somewhere in Florida, in a clothing-optional resort, and walk out to the pool and bump into Giles Brandreth. Those images are seared onto my mind and will remain there till my deathbed. As I lie there, gasping my last, I'll go, "No! Put it away! I never want to see that." I feel a little nauseous just even talking about this. I do apologise. I assumed someone would buzz in by now.
Well, Jenny has buzzed in.
Yes. He said I a lot. I. I know it's all about him, but I...
Sadly, it wasn't all about him. He actually described my idea of heaven. It's heartbreaking. I've been waxing for weeks in anticipation of tonight. This is how he repays me.
Well, there we are.
There we are.
I think it's a good job I put a stop to it, don't you, Nicholas?
Well, actually, yes, but Jenny, we don't usually challenge for I, unless Graham is prepared to let it go.
Quite happy to let it go.
Right. Jenny, you have a correct challenge. You get a point for that, of course. You have 27 seconds still available. My idea of hell starting now.
My idea of hell is playing Just a Minute with some of Nicholas Parsons' pet favourites, because I can't win surrounded by Graham Norton.
A Graham Norton challenge.
I thought deviation from reality, because it's not really like that, is it, Nicholas?
No, it's not.
You don't have any favourites, do you?
No, no.
Yeah. I'm right, aren't I?
Absolutely. Yeah. Graham, you may be one of my favourites, but I don't actually cast the show. I have to leave that to the producer. She has to have some responsibility. It would be... You misunderstood that completely. She has an overall control of the whole thing.
Yeah.
But the thing is, it would be quite invidious if I just chose my chums to come on this. Giles, yes?
They're not your chums, they're your love children.
Who challenged?
Graham challenged me, but I can't remember why.
Yes. Graham.
Oh, deviation.
That's right. You got that from a member of the audience helping you out, the woman in the white
Thanks.
Shirt. Bad lady.
Graham, you have the subject back. My idea...
No, I didn't have the subject. It was Jenny had the subject. I buzzed in.
Yeah, you buzzed in. What's your challenge?
A deviation, apparently. Was it? That's what the lady in the audience said, so I'll go with it. Deviation.
Deviation of what?
Shall we just ask the lady in the audience?
Let's cut out the middleman.
I know. There was deviation because she said, my love children.
I didn't say that, Jazz said that.
So said something about my chums.
It was, I don't...
Nicholas, it's so long ago, and I'm a menopausal woman. I have no idea.
Were you menopausal when this programme started?
No. I was in the first flush of youth.
Graham, I think it is you.
OK.
Right. And there are 18 seconds. My idea of hell starting now.
My idea of hell is to be on Just a Minute and have nothing to say on the subject. But since that is my idea of hell, I'm fine at the moment. Because, indeed, I have nothing to say on my...
Right.
Why do I keep...
Repetition of nothing.
Nothing, yes. You walked into your own trap there. 6 seconds, Paul, on my idea of hell starting now.
Jean-Paul Sartre said that his idea of hell was other people, but I give you the Just a Minute panel. Could that be further from the truth?
In this game, whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point. On this occasion, it was Paul Merton, who's got two at the end of the round. Jenny and Graham have got one. Giles has yet to score, but we have heard from him, as we always do. Now, Giles, you wouldn't be here. We didn't all love you dearly. Right. Jenny, it's your turn to begin. The subject is, a nice one, a garden party. Tell us something about a garden party in just a minute, starting now.
My idea of hell is a garden party. You couldn't think of anything worse than standing around drinking milky tea out of bone china, chatting about nasturtiums. I'm not invited to such events. My mates don't have gardens. Not in London. They all live in council flats. I'm trying to make out I'm a bit rock and roll and hard here. Actually,
Guess
what?
The word suggested a hesitation.
It was definite hesitation, Giles. Well,
actually, Ermentrude, my friend.
Jenny, well wriggled, but it's too late. Giles, correct challenge. 41 seconds. A garden party starting now.
One of the perks of being a Member of Parliament is that you are invited to royal garden parties. Getting there is quite cheap because of the expenses arrangements. And when you arrive, you find that you are greeted by Her Majesty, Queen Elizabeth II of Great Britain and United Kingdom of Northern Ireland as well. And the Duke of Edinburgh is grunting in the background. You wander around the garden and they poke umbrellas in your direction, steering you along the pathway where delicious tea is offered. There are spoons in the saucers. But Prince Philip told me... I know it...
Paul Challenge.
I think we had a repetition of Prince Philip.
No, Duke of Edinburgh first time round.
Oh, was it?
Yes.
Same person, different title.
Well, Phoenix.
Yeah, well thought out, Giles. You've still got a garden party and you've got 8 seconds, starting now.
The Grenadier Guards play at one end and the Irish soldiers at the other, and in between bishops stroll, topping their mitres and making...
Right, so Giles Brandreth was then speaking as a whistle wind gained that extra point. He's now taken the lead at the end of that round, and with his erudition and knowledge, he went extremely well, and I'm sure he'll do the same on the next subject. And Graham, we're back with you to begin. The subject is, I've got 99 problems. That's the subject. 60 seconds, starting now.
I was in quite a chipper mood before this programme, but now I discover the producer has been stalking me and listing the amount of problems I actually have. I am heavy of heart. There is a weight on my shoulders as I count the 99 problems I've got. And unlike the rap singer, I'm afraid one of mine is a bitch. I refer, of course, to my small raggedy terrier, Madge, who is a vicious little dog. Oh, I said little dog, but I don't know.
We wouldn't have known.
Sometimes you don't draw attention to it.
I know, that
it
was foolish of me.
It slips past the wire. Right, Paul, you challenge first.
Oh, yes, it was a repetition of little.
No, that's correct. 26 seconds, Paul, available. I've got 99 problems starting now.
I've got 99 problems, I believe, is a record by a current rap artist which is doing very well with the teenagers in the discotheques of all over Hemel Hempstead. I don't particularly know much about this form of entertainment. It doesn't pass me by, I'm afraid. A bit like Mozart, perhaps, sounds very similar to people who aren't versed in the various parts of the string quartet. But I do believe this. Britain needs...
Giles Challenge.
I think, really, it was a dramatic pause, not a hesitation.
It
I'd
was.
Like to withdraw my challenge.
It's too late.
You buzzed in order to withdraw your challenge.
All that happens, Paul, is you get another point.
Indeed.
Incorrect challenge. And, Paul, you've got 2 seconds to go. And I've got 99 problems starting now.
Ice cream cornets round my way. Don't have two flakes.
So, Paul, again speaking as the whistle went, and with the other points in the round, he's now crept up equal with Giles Brandreth. They're just ahead of Jenny Eclair and Graham Norton in that order. And, Jenny, it's your turn to begin, so would you take over this subject, which is vampires.
Ooh.
60 seconds, starting now.
I'm not that interested in vampires, not being a soppy 15-year-old girl. They're big news at the moment.
Giles Challenge.
I tumbled. Which means...
She tumbled over her fangs, as it were. There was a little hesitation.
I stumbled
on the girl
over
thing.
The word girl.
No, she didn't. Is that hesitation?
It is. Well,
it's a stutter, but it's a stutter.
I love the audience going, yes, it was, actually.
Giles, you have the benefit of the doubt.
Oh, Oh, Nicholas.
I love you dearly, but I've got to be fair. Okay. Vampires with you, 53 seconds, starting now.
In 1897, the great Bram Stoker published his novel Dracula, which tells modern audiences everything they really need to know about vampires. This Irish author worked for Sir Henry Irving, the founder of the Lyceum Theatre Company in that era, a bloodsucker himself regarded by many, but this particular writer gave us...
Paul Challenge.
Well, it's a bit mean, but we did have Spaticular.
Yeah.
Spaticular writer.
If he can have...
I got girl.
He can have Grand Jenny for good girl. You can have him for Spaticular. Right.
He's making those mooing noises again.
Gobbling gently.
It's an image you won't get rid of tonight.
21 seconds available, Paul. Vampires starting now.
Bela Lugosi appeared in the Dracula film made in 1930. He was an Hungarian stage actor who'd made a big, powerful presence when he appeared on Broadway in the time.
Giles Chapman.
The petition have appeared.
Yes, he appeared in the film and he appeared on Broadway.
Yes, well, which is unusual for a vampire. But not on matinees.
Giles, Vampires is back with you in 20 seconds available, starting now.
I recall my own training as a vampire, peering down at the palm of my hand and seeing the hairs sprouting from it, looking into the mirror.
Paul Challenge.
Deviation, he's thinking of werewolves. Vampires don't have hairs sprouting from their hands.
Dyslexic vampires do. Well known.
No. Hairs have nothing to do with vampires.
And how would you know? How would you know? It's a mythical creature.
He's happy house at the moon once a fortnight.
I was in a Doctor Who series where they turned into hemivores and you had to, and I was playing the vicar and you had to hold up your hand and it was nothing to do with hairs, it was to do with saying the right oath and keeping them at bay and so forth. And then I had the faith, I said, there we are, back you go. And they stabbed me through the heart and I died a terrible, miserable death. Yeah. But it was a good performance and good money. Vampires is now with you, Paul. Correct challenge. And there are 14 seconds starting now.
A very popular television series back in the 1990s was Buffy the Vampire Hunter. Well, actually, it was called Buffy. Buffy.
Yeah,
whatever it was called, it wasn't called that.
Buffy. Buffy the Finger Food.
All right.
The crust cut off sandwiches strikes back.
Graham, correct challenge. You've got the subject of vampires, and 8 seconds starting now.
Vampires are terribly trendy at the moment. Those Twilight movies are everywhere. People seem to love them. I went to see Twilight the first.
But actually, the whistle went as you were actually speaking.
Yeah, it did. I heard it.
And so we give you the score at the end of that round, and Graham has moved forward again. Oh, he's still equal in the lead with Giles Brandreth. 1 point behind is Paul Merton, and then 2 is Jenny Eclair. Oh, it's even thing. And Giles, it's turn to begin. Oh, here's an interesting subject. In my toolbox. Can you tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now?
Lord Finchley tried to mend the electric light. It struck him dead, and serve him right. It is the business of the wealthy man to give employment to the artisan. I do not have riches, but I still believe that you should give roles that involve toolboxes to people who are trained for them. Therefore, in my toolbox, I keep cupcakes. Big, fat, creamy ones. Pink and yellow and white.
Giles, you've challenged yourself.
No. No.
He was calling for his nurse.
I have 4 lights here. Whoever presses the buzzer first, their light comes on.
I don't think my hands were near the... I'm psychic.
Yes, Giles,
I have the power to heal.
So get a man in to look at that.
What is your challenge, Giles? Have you got a challenge?
I don't have a challenge. I don't think I touched my... clearly, I need my toolbox because I wasn't touching the thing and it suddenly went off in my hand.
Right, well, you missed an opportunity then. You could have said something and I'd given you a correct challenge.
Oh, yes.
It's too late now. Paul, you take the subject. 35 seconds in my toolbox, starting now.
I am very surprised to get this subject because I didn't challenge at all, but nevertheless, my brother came on in my toolbox. There is a magnificent blueprint of Nicholas Parsons. Every single fibre.
Jenny's challenged.
I'm challenged because it's deviation.
What actually happened is that... You, yours press.
Yeah.
His light came on and yours flashed on.
Yes.
So you're entitled to have the subject.
Yeah, great. Lovely.
Right, now Jenny's challenge. Yeah. What is your challenge,
Jenny? Only slight deviation from the rules, Nicholas, because nobody, you didn't tell us that Paul had challenged, and Paul didn't say what he'd challenged for, and then suddenly you just gave him the subject. Giles looked really confused, and the audience, the woman in white who's been helping Graham looked confused, and the other lady on the front row threw up her hands in horror. And
so Paul, I tell you what I will do now. In view of the fact that they feel I'm giving challenges away without things, Giles challenged himself, I took it away, gave it to Paul, so now what we do is we give it to Jenny.
Hurrah! That makes sense.
We'd all be wanting to give it to Jenny. Excellent.
Jenny, and then Graham will get his chance before the show's out. Right, in my toolbox, Jenny, 24 seconds starting now.
I don't have a toolbox.
And Paul challenge.
Now, she says she hasn't got a toolbox, the subject's toolbox, and am I right in assuming if you complain about the challenge, you'll get a point?
No.
Oh.
No.
You've changed it again.
No. I just said that maybe I was a little unfair to Giles because he challenged himself.
Yes.
So I get you have it because you were sitting next to him, yes, and your light flashed on.
Yes, sure.
So Jenny pressed again and said he didn't give the reason he challenged. So I said, all right, yeah, Jenny, you can have it. And so, now I'll give it to Graham.
Yeah, I was going to say, following this logic, because I haven't challenged, I should get it, couldn't I?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
And you'll get it before the time's out.
Let's give it to Graham.
And deviation, because he hasn't got a toolbox.
Not yet, but Graham's going to have it before we finish the round.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fair. Okay.
Right. 22 seconds, Jenny. In my toolbox, starting now.
Don't have one. Have a makeup bag instead, because I'm lazy.
Paul challenge.
Repetition of have.
Yeah, I know.
And have, yes.
So and when do I get it now?
Yeah, give it to... So that should be Graham now.
Yeah, that's
right.
How it works, isn't it? Yes. Yeah.
As this round has been chaos from the point of view of the rules of just a minute, and I'm feeling very embarrassed.
Can we bring in Hawkeye for these close decisions? Do we have the technology?
Yes, the technology says Graham should come in and then we'll all square. Absolutely. 18 seconds in my toolbox, Graham, starting now.
Surprisingly, I do have a toolbox, and in it is this wondrous thing.
I don't believe you do have a toolbox because you seem to be incapable of naming anything that was in it.
I was about to go on to describe the wondrous thing.
He was about to describe the wondrous thing in his toolbox.
Yeah, good.
So okay. Let him have a shot. He got another point because he was interrupted.
Absolutely.
That was a legitimate challenge legitimate point.
Yeah.
In my toolbox, Graham, 11 seconds starting now.
One large handle and about 25, possibly 30 different little screwdriver heads you can stick in. They stay there.
Let me
tell
you.
Yes, Paul, wondrous.
No, I'm just wondering where I can buy one of these things. What's it called?
Can I tell you, Paul, I wouldn't bother. They're much better to have the actual screwdriver. I've got one of those things and they're slipping around. You can't get much pressure on them or much purchase, as they call it professionally. No, get the real thing.
Yeah.
Yes. That's what I'm saying.
Well, I'll take your advice on screwdrivers, certainly.
Yes. Well, he's got his own range, you know. Have you not seen him on QVC in the middle of the night? Nicholas Parsons' Allen keys. Yeah. Yes. They're the best.
It's an ex-engineer talking. Right.
Yes.
Graham, you were speaking when the whistle went. So, you get an extra point. You're now in second place, just behind Giles. And Jenny's just behind you. And the audience are giggling. I don't know why. And Paul, we're with you to start. And a topical subject, budget cuts. So, Paul, it's up to you. 60 seconds starting now.
Having been handed this poisonous chalice, I shall drink from it deeply. Budget cuts have rendered this show an absolute joke. Next year, it's going to be called Just a Nanosecond. How are we possibly going to be able to talk on a subject? Giles Brandreth will be represented by his cheaper, younger brother. You, of course, will remember him as one of the clangers in that very popular series back on the days of television in the 1970s. Budget cuts will make sure that previous decades will be forgotten. We no longer have the money to recall the 1980s. Instead...
Jenny challenge.
1970s, 1980s.
Yes, you mentioned 1970s,
oh, yes.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. Well, listen,
interesting,
Jenny.
Interesting,
28 seconds available, Jenny. Budget cuts starting now.
We all have to tighten our belts. Domestically, this can be done by sharing bath water, for starters, and going to the supermarket, buying cheap potatoes and crisps, horrible meat.
Just.
Hesitation is the revolting menu. Think of bath water for starters.
Yes. Yeah, but I think of the idea that buying cheap potatoes and you're about crisps, which are basically rather expensive, you buy a lot of those, and not healthy.
No, I know, but this is it, you see, Nicholas. When you have to buy cheap food, one gets fatter. So as the nation has to tighten its belt, we also have to loosen it because we're becoming obese. Yes.
Jars, you had a correct challenge. You've got 13 seconds. Budget cuts starting now.
Budget cuts are really what has resulted in the hairstyles you see before you, particularly my own, which has been tonsured in an extraordinarily inexpensive place off the Balls Pond Road, where my...
Paul Challenge.
Did you say Bald Ponds Road?
No, the Balls Pond Road, it does exist.
Oh, I did say it was Balls.
It is Balls
Pond. I thought it was, I wasn't sure. No. It sounded like Balls where I was sitting, but I couldn't be quite sure, so... But if you can confirm it was Balls, then I'm quite happy to... take your word for that.
I can confirm it.
You can confirm
it. I don't know what it is.
Well, you'd know if it was Balls, wouldn't you? Where you're sitting.
Not where I'm sitting. I've been down it many times.
Well, we'll leave the gay slang there, shall we?
When I was recording with Arthur Haynes at the Hackney Empire, we used to drive down the Balls Pond Road to get to Dawson Junction and go on there.
Avoiding the horse and carts.
Right. Giles, an incorrect challenge. Yeah. Budget cuts is still with you. And you've only got 1 second to go. Starting now.
11 Downing Street.
So at the end of that round, Giles Brandis speaks the whistle when gained the next point has increased his lead ahead of Paul Merton and Graham Norton in second place, and Jenny only 1 point behind in third place. And we are entering the final round. Oh. Yes. I thought he deserved a bit more than that. Graham.
Yes.
It's with you to begin, and the subject is perfect aim. Tell us something about that subject, Graham, starting now.
Sometimes gentlemen don't have perfect aim, particularly in public toilets. And one solution is to get a small plastic fly, moosh, and put it in the urinal, and then instinctually men will try and hit it. Oh, I said...
Jenny,
he said men twice.
I know, because it was very interesting, wasn't it?
It was a good story, though. I was slightly worried about it.
It's
when
true.
When you started it, when you were talking about gentlemen not having proper aims in toilets, and I just thought, this could get really dark.
But it didn't.
No, it didn't.
So let's not dwell.
But you did repeat men twice.
You did say men. So, Jenny, correct challenge, 40 seconds, perfect aim, starting now.
Many sports rely on having perfect aim. Snooker, golf, tennis, football, darts, rugby.
Giles, you got in first. Correct challenge. What is your challenge, by the way?
Hesitation.
Yes, right. Perfect aim, 31 seconds, starting now.
Don't dribble, focus is the mantra that I believe in. I was introduced to it to by the first woman in my life, and all the subsequent girls I've known have always said to me,
Again, Paul, challenge.
This was your mother? The first woman in your life?
Yes, I was found at my birth in bed, naked with an older woman. It's gone on like that ever since.
Paul, what was your challenge?
Well, deviation. I don't think his mum said this to him.
Yes, she did. Oh, absolutely. She did say, don't dribble focus. That's what she always said to me. Don't dribble. You had a little sign above the loo.
What does it mean?
It means don't dribble focus. Focus on what you're doing. It reverts to what Graham was talking about earlier, but I'll move on.
Yes.
I don't believe your mother ever said that.
I do assure you that my mother... We'll dig her up and get her along here.
I tell you what,
Giles... You mean to say if we... No.
It's exactly the sort of thing a mother does say.
It sounds like the sort of something Mrs. Brandreth would have said. Yeah. Before hitting you very hard across the back of the head.
She never hit. She coaxed. She was lovely.
Really?
Well, I can't really... I can't really sort of maintain a challenge. If what's your name? If Griff Rhys-Jones here says that his mum said it, then I'm quite willing to believe her.
Well, all right. Yes. You keep the subject, Giles. perfect
Giles.
Name.
Giles. That's worth knowing, is that? That's worth as a tip. Giles.
So, right. Paul now knows who's sitting next to him, and we're reaching the end of the show. And Giles continues with 21 seconds. Perfect aim starting now.
Miss Winehouse is my idea of a perfect aim, and she and I went to the fun fair and tried to knock coconuts off the shy. I found that I had, by chance, a perfect aim, and one after another of these vegetables fell to the ground, and I presented them to...
Paul Challenge.
Deviation. Is coconut a vegetable?
No. It's a coca nut.
It's the fruit of a tree.
Yeah.
Excuse me, it is of the vegetable family.
Excuse me.
Somebody.
No, it's not. Giles says, if I say it'll be true.
Yes. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, you're incorrect. And I gave you the benefit of the doubt before, so I'm going to give Paul the benefit of the doubt.
If you say so, Nicholas.
But if you were at a restaurant and they said, would you like vegetables with that? And it came with a coconut. You would be upset.
Can I say it? Every Thai restaurant I go to, they serve vegetables. They serve a lovely vegetable curry with lovely shavings of coconut on top.
How it's served doesn't change what it is.
Paul...
if you could shove it in your back letterbox, it'd still be a coconut.
Yeah. You wouldn't get it through, Paul.
Desiccated.
6 seconds. Perfect aim, Paul, starting now.
My perfect aim is demonstrated every time I go to the fun fair. I pick up a ball and throw it at a coconut. What a wonderful thing it is!
So, it only remains to give you the final score. Well, it was very close. Graham, Norton, Jenny, and Claire were together in third place, only 2 points behind Paul Merton. 1 or 2 points ahead of them was Giles Brandreth. So we say, Giles, this week, you are our winner.
Ooh.
So it only remains to say thank you to these four fine, intrepid players of this game. Giles Brandreth, Paul Merton, Jenny Eclair, and Graham Norton. And thank also Sarah Sharp, who's helped me with the score. She's blown her whistle with great aplomb whenever the 60 seconds have elapsed. We're indebted, by the way, to Ian Messiter, who created this amazing game, and we're also very grateful to our producer, Talusha Gilani. We are deeply indebted to this audience here, who have been so warm and friendly as they've cheered us on our way and giving notes all the time to Graham Norton. So from our audience and from me, Nicholas Parsons, and the team, goodbye. Thank you for tuning in. But do tune in again the next time we play Just a Minute.